Lee Collins.
Peter B. Collins, news and comment. It's Monday, January 29th, 2018. And perhaps you heard the news that broke over the weekend. We are saddened to report that independent, investigative journalist Robert Perry, the founder of Consortium News, passed away on Saturday night at the age of 68. Bob Perry had a series of strokes, and doctors diagnosed him after he went into the hospital with a late-stage case of pancreatic cancer. And his passing is mourned by many of us who value the intrepid investigative reporting that Bob Perry conducted over his career, going back to the 1980s when he worked for Newsweek, the Associated Press, and later the PBS television investigative show Frontline. And he was one of the leading journalists who helped expose the Iran-Contra affair, and later the October surprise that led to the installation of Ronald Reagan as president as the Iranian hostages were released and being flown back to the United States at almost the very same moment. And Bob investigated the way reporters and journalists should, by following the facts without fear or favor. And it led to consequences. As his son Nat reports in a very touching review of Bob's legacy and the announcement of his death that was posted Sunday at consortiumnews.com, Bob's reporting cost him a lot because he continued to dig into the Iran-Contra affair after the media had lost interest, and his superiors didn't like that he was committed to the truth when it was politically inconvenient. And Nat Perry recounts how his dad said goodbye to his four sons as he was preparing to head to Central America in the 1980s. And he writes, Bob was deeply impacted by the dirty wars of Central America in the 80s, and in many ways these conflicts came to define the rest of his life and career. He went on to support the real risky investigative reporting that cost Gary Webb his career and ultimately led him to take his life. And by exposing the October surprise that really showed the early connections between Reagan operatives and the Iranians and the bizarre deal that then funded the Contras in Central America, and they used the airplane flights that sent supplies to them to ship cocaine back to the United States. It was a remarkable exposé, and it's a story that still reverberates in American media and as a dark side of our government. And I spoke to Bob Perry. You can find the interview if you search under his name at peterbcollins.com. But after the movie about Gary Webb was released called Kill the Messenger, and we reviewed the history of Gary Webb's reporting, the way it was initially celebrated and promoted by his newspaper, the Mercury News, and then he became a target of the LA Times, the Washington Post, and other media outlets. So then moving into the George W. Bush era, that's when Bob Perry really did great reporting, exposing the intelligence community's failures and lies, the deception that led to the invasion of Iraq. And that's when he connected with Ray McGovern. And Ray McGovern, of course, is the former CIA analyst, a founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, and a guy who's been a longtime contributor to ConsortiumNews.com. And you'll hear from Ray McGovern in just a moment. But, of course, it was the reporting that he did, critical of President Obama, that I found to be exceptionally well done and worthy of our consideration. Last year, as you may know, actually it was in 2016, the Consortium News and other outlets were demonized. They were blacklisted in an unusual article from the Washington Post that promoted a group called Prop or Not. And we were not permitted to know who Prop or Not was, the basis for their blacklisting of more than 200 media outlets, mostly online. And this was something that really infuriated Bob Perry and certainly deserved that kind of a reaction. Then when we move into the Trump era, the whole so-called Russiagate narrative is something that Bob Perry worked so hard on and did a lot of great skeptical reporting. I relied heavily on that for my own coverage, and I spoke to Bob many times. You can find, again, those interviews at peterbcollins.com. So Bob Perry had a mild stroke on Christmas Eve. Then when they further investigated, they discovered the pancreatic cancer. He was admitted to hospice about a week ago, and he passed away in the company of his family on Saturday night. For comment on the passing of Robert Perry, I turn to Ray McGovern, the former CIA analyst, also very active, a co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, and they had a long-running relationship with ConsortiumNews.com that helped us understand quite a few important issues. Ray, what was your first reaction on the passing of Bob Perry?
Well, I know Bobby's personal friend, so I knew his troubles starting on Christmas Eve with the first stroke, and I was with him on Thursday evening. He died on the next day, or maybe it was Friday and Saturday. In any case, it didn't come as a surprise to me, other than the fact that it happened so quickly. The strokes were the proximate cause. As most people know now, he had pancreas cancer as well. Mm-hmm. But his apologia, the piece that he wrote after his first strike, when he could hardly see, his vision was so blurred, that speaks volumes to what Bob has done and what his contribution to the reputation of accurate media with integrity has been.
Well, and he paid quite a price for his independence and his pursuit of the truth. Many people know the story that he worked for Newsweek, the Associated Press, at the time that he broke key elements of the Iran-Contra story. He supported the work of Gary Webb, the groundbreaking journalist to expose the crack cocaine connection to the whole scheme. He dug into the October surprise that led to the rise of Reagan and that curious split screen on Reagan's inauguration day as the hostages were mysteriously released from Iran. And he also, you know, more recently, Ray, helped people like me with his really trailblazing skeptical reporting about the Trump-Russia narrative. And he paid a price for that. He talked about that in his final column, that many people wanted him to get on the resist bandwagon. And I've had that pressure myself. Many people say, Peter, you're on the wrong side of this. And Bob Perry didn't care about being on the wrong side. He was following the evidence to expose the truth, Ray.
Yeah, what a novel concept, huh?
Yeah.
Relying on evidence to expose the truth. Well, I have the highest admiration for Bob. He recruited me to write for Consortium News way back 10 years ago when he saw what Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity were doing. And he holds the archives to our 51 memos. 51 memos over a period of 15 years is not that many. So it was a really good example to me of somebody who doggedly pursued the truth and suffered the marginalization. They made him a pariah. They call him a Putin puppet. They call everything in the book. Now, I have to tell you this. As I commiserated with Bob about what he was being called, and me too, you know, he says, Ray, you almost enjoy it. I mean, you like this kind of, I mean, you're Irish, and but I don't. And he said, you know, I feel it, Ray, and I don't know how to do this except I feel it deeply. And all my friends, the ones I used to, not all, but some that I used to be in partnership with as a journalist, and being called Putin's spy. And then, you know, the bigger stakes involved here, the fact that we're in worse shape with respect to the a superpower on the other end of the world, that is Russia, and doing all kinds of crazy things to prevent an improvement in relations with Russia. That's even more serious. So he kept at it, whether it was exposing the legend that Bashar al-Assad used chemical weapons, quote, against his own people, end quote,
right.
A lie, and Bob Perry, with the help of Ted Postel from MIT, proved it to be a lie.
Well, he also was so skilled in digging, Ray, because in the Khan Shukun gas story, he went to the International Chemical Weapons Commission's report, and mm-hmm. he found buried in there some really critical circumstantial evidence, and that was that people were reporting to hospital near Khan Shukun, reporting exposure to sarin gas before the planes that allegedly dropped the gas had taken off. I mean, it's a four-hour gap.
you get it.
And that's the kind of reporting that Bob Perry did that mm-hmm. just was stunning in its power and its simplicity. The facts, man.
Yeah, he was an investigator. He'd go where the evidence was. Here's another thing that really is important. He goes down to the libraries there in Texas, the LBJ Library, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a little tip that there's some interesting information there about the last days of LBJ's reign, okay? So he goes to the curator and says, I'd like the envelope on LBJ right before he left. And the curator says, oh, an envelope. And he brings this envelope. It's Walter Rostow's envelope. And it says, do not open for 50 years, okay? Well, Bob says, oh, yeah, that's the one. And he said, well, it's not 50 years. He said, come on, everybody's dead. So what does he find out? He finds out that the FBI came to LBJ 3 days before the Humphrey Nixon election and told him, we've got wiretaps on the South Vietnamese embassy and on that femme fatale, what was her name, the woman. Anyhow, we found out that the South Vietnamese are being told by the Republicans, look, don't come to Paris, don't make any deal, because we can give you a better deal. And we don't want you to make any kinds of deals or any kind of conciliatory gestures before the election. And what happens? They don't come, and the talks break off. Now, was that significant? It was incredibly significant, because Humphrey, I think, probably would have won if we showed some motion on resolving this Vietnam thing. So was that treason? Of course it was treason. What did LBJ do? Well, he didn't give a rat's patootie about who won. He's going to be out of there. And he says, you know, what should I do? Clark Clifford says, well, God, it might, this, you know, if this gets, if Nixon wins and he's disabled from the beginning because he won in this kind of way, maybe we better not say anything. And guess what? They don't say diddly. And you know how close that election was. So
mm-hmm.
how do we know this? Because Bob fluffed his way into that envelope. Is it documentary? Yes, it's documentary. Have people come slowly to accept that as the reality, as the facts? Yes, they have. Big deal.
And Ray, it also is the template for the script that is currently being used, also for the Reagan October surprise script. And so, you know, this is the benefit. And as we wrap up here about Bob Perry, one of the comparisons that I made to Bob's face that made him squirm was that I considered him in a class with R.W. Johnny Apple, the celebrated New York Times reporter who would be assigned these kind of sweeping analytical pieces to provide context and history to current mm-hmm. events. And that was the skill that I feel that Bob Perry really had nailed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a consummate journalist, and what he was after was the truth. And when AP and Newsweek, after he had become something of a celebrity, wouldn't let him to tell the truth anymore. What do you do? He said, I'm out of here. I'm going to found my own website. In those days, nobody knew what a website was. And so it's been going for, 22 or 23 years now. And the good news is that his son, Nat, is picking it up, and he's going to be running it for the next month or so until we get somebody more permanent in to do the work. But all manner of people are chiming in, Peter B., all kinds of wonderful journalists and analysts, and saying, hey, I'll send you something so we'll keep this thing going. So it will be kept going. And I'm sure that Bob, wherever he is, and I think he's kind of looking down at us here, will be happy to see that his work has not been stopped.
And Ray, please extend my condolences and my love for Bob to his wife, Diane, and his four sons. And I hope that the work of Consortium News will continue. It's really been a vital outlet for me and my listeners for many years now.
Well, I will pass that along. And they're sort of recovering now, but it's been a real tough 2 weeks. As I say, the focus now is on what Bob would have wanted done and actually what he provided for in the things he wrote toward the end, that this thing will continue, and it will continue to do the work without fear or favor what a journalist is supposed to do.
I'm grateful to Ray McGovern for his warm and insightful comments about the late Robert Perry. But the news continues. I hope Consortium News will continue, and that many of the writers that Bob Perry edited will continue to contribute there. I decided to conduct a separate interview with Ray McGovern, and I'll be releasing it shortly at peterbcollins.com without any subscription requirement, because it is time-sensitive. Ray McGovern believes that we are headed for an imminent showdown over the Trump-Russia story. And that Devin Nunes, the Republican chair of the House Intelligence Committee, whose staff compiled a four-page memo that has been the focus of a struggle about whether or not to release it, the word is that his committee, the Republican majority, will approve release of that memo. And if the White House doesn't object, it could be released almost immediately. But the president has 5 days to review that decision, and he could essentially veto it if he wants to. But at issue here, from what we know about this memo, is information about the way that the FBI may have presented false information to the FISA court, specifically that it was relying on the Christopher Steele dossier that was paid for by the Clinton campaign through Fusion GPS, was the primary basis for the application for FISA warrant or warrants. And we know, based on leaks that have surfaced so far, that there was one round of application or applications that was rejected by the FISA court, and apparently the second time the court approved it. So there's a lot at stake here. And as this is swirling, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, reportedly has gotten to peruse this memo. He had to go to the SCIF, the Secured Compartmentalized Facility, at the House Intelligence Committee's office to read it. And it's not clear if there's a direct connection, but today he forced out his deputy director, the number two who'd been hired by James Comey, whose name is Andy McCabe. And in my conversation with Ray McGovern, we go into some detail about Ray's speculation that the Peter Strzok, Lisa Page text messages that refer to meetings in Andy's offices may have been the trigger point. Now, McCabe had already agreed to ease himself out of the FBI, but he was waiting until March, apparently so he could feather his pension a little more. But the new FBI director felt compelled to relieve him of his duties today. Now, there's more. The latest leak in Washington is that Trump also threatened to fire not only Robert Mueller, as the New York Times reported based on anonymous sources on Friday, but that he also had threatened to fire the number two at Justice, who, because of the recusal of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General, is essentially running the Mueller investigation. Mueller reports to him. And the Republicans have leaked dirt on Rosenstein, saying that he, shortly after he was confirmed by the Senate, turned around and extended the surveillance coverage of a campaign operative of the Trump campaign named Carter Page. So, again, we have details. We have certain elements that have been reported. But until we see if this memo is actually released, and in my conversation with Ray, he talks about how Stephen Boyd, the assistant attorney general, wrote a letter last week to Nunes saying that it would be extraordinarily reckless to release this memo because it drew on classified information. Now, it's possible that information was classified to prevent any evidence surfacing that would implicate the FBI in a scheme to support Clinton over Trump, and once Trump was named president, to try to limit the scope of his operating abilities with the Trump-Russia scandal. So this is getting murkier and murkier. Ray McGovern believes that we could see the denouement of this very shortly. I'm not so sure about that, because the ability of these things to be dragged out and for various power centers to weigh in and deviate from what appears to be the route forward, this could be a very unusual ride. One other thing that I discussed in the interview with Ray McGovern, which I do recommend to you, is that the Democrats have shifted so dramatically. And now they're betting their money on Republicans like James Comey and Robert Mueller, Mueller running the special counsel investigation. And because of the revelation that Trump tried to fire Mueller last June, we are seeing an effort mostly from Democrats to pass a law which would require court supervision of any future effort to fire a special counsel. Now, I find this richly ironic, because the Republicans are saying, oh, I don't think there's a need for legislation like that right now. Trump said he's not going to fire Mueller. Of course, he lies regularly about these kinds of things. But at any rate, there is this rich irony. The Democrats are putting their faith and placing their bets on the honesty and integrity of the intelligence community and of Republicans like Mueller and Comey. And if the hunches of Ray McGovern are correct, well, this could be quite a sea change for this entire scandal. And it could give Trump the upper hand over the media and foreign policy and the deep state in ways that nobody ever imagined. And finally today, David Leonhardt, who is the op-ed columnist at the New York Times that I quoted on Friday, has a fresh article out that I'm linking to in the show file for today's podcast. And it relates to an article of impeachment against Trump based on the outlines that we have so far of a case of obstruction of justice. And Leonhardt notes that both the impeachment of Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton used similar language. The first article of impeachment against Nixon argued that he had prevented, obstructed, and impeded the administration of justice. And Leonhardt goes on to enumerate ten different items that do, in fact, I think, rationally support a claim that Trump has obstructed justice. And as I discussed with Ray McGovern, I believe that he has covered up for various dirty deeds, dirty deals, and dirty people that he has been connected with that are related to Russia. They have to do with his real estate deals, with laundering money in Trump properties in the United States, and then, I think, attempting to use government to score even further. So, as you know, I believe that Trump is definitely impeachable, and that we don't need a Russiagate narrative. We don't need to see proof that so far has not surfaced that Russia hacked the DNC, gave that information to WikiLeaks with the express purpose of electing Trump and defeating Clinton. So that's my news and comment podcast for today. There is other news. We'll make room for that tomorrow. And I encourage you to share this podcast far and wide. You can find it on YouTube. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.